great to be here this morning. What a beautiful Sunday. Looking forward to our time together after service, especially as the elders bring us an update on the pulpit search. I'm very excited about how God is at work in that process. Excited about what they will have to report to you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Bill Thornton, and I'm the interim minister here at Kingsway Christian Church. It's a privilege for us to be able to drive up from Lincoln every Sunday morning. Actually, I could say that truthfully today. It was actually a privilege to drive today. A little bit of sun in my eyes, but I can deal with that when there's no snow or fog or rain or any other number of things that have been getting in the way. So it's great to be with you this morning. If you were here last week, you know that I got through point one of my sermon. So I'm sure there's probably like a pool. How many points will they get through today? Probably. Except we don't do pools in the church, right? I don't know. Anyway, we're in this series of messages where we're talking about becoming the kind of church that God wants us to be. And last week and this week as well, we want to talk about how you find community in the church, a sense of belonging, a feeling like you're a part of something much bigger than yourself. And we read a couple of passages that I will just remind you about. Acts 2, 42 to 47. We're not going to read it again because I'll be making references to it as we go through the rest of the message. But in Acts 2, 42 to 47, we see the early disciples devoting themselves to certain spiritual practices like the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper, and the prayers. And out of that kind of spiritual devotion, they praised God, and they were an attractive sort of church, to be sure. And we're told that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We talked last week about how community is found in a common experience. Their common experience was in Jesus and the spiritual practices that they engaged in together. As we left off last time, I began to open up this question of what makes for an attractive church? What should a congregation be known for? Every church is known for something. You know, when people drive up and down Pacific Street and they drive by this building, if they've heard of Kingsway Christian Church, they have formed an opinion about Kingsway Christian Church. They might say, nice looking building. They might say, there's a lot of traffic along this street. I mean, I don't know what all they might say, but or think to themselves, but I think it's not just that they would notice on the outside. If they're anything like me, I wonder about what's going on the inside of the building and what kind of a congregation is that like. I think every church must answer that question. In fact, we do answer that question. And so I'd invite you to think about that, and all of us to think about that for just a few minutes this morning. Is Kingsway Christian Church an attractive church? And what is it about this church that would draw people to want to be a part of it? I don't mean that to be, if that came across as rude and insensitive and offensive, I don't mean for it to at all. But really, I think every church should ask that about itself. What about what we're about and what we're doing should we expect that the Lord would bless? I want to tell you the story of a couple of churches. They're not in Omaha, so I don't want you thinking about, I wonder if he's talking about our church. I mean, it's not Kingsway, and it's not even a church in Omaha. But two churches that I'm aware of who definitely, I feel like, gave off completely differing kind of vibes, if you will, to some friends of ours not too long ago. Marcia and I have a couple of friends, a married couple. They're about our age, maybe a little bit older. I would call them displaced Christians. They love the Lord. They've been active in the church in the past. But maybe you know how it goes, how it's gone with them. And maybe it's gone this way in your life, or maybe you know somebody like this. Something happened. I don't know if somebody said something that was offensive, or if the church came across as, well, you know how the church can come across sometimes. And by the way, I love the church. I'm an advocate for the church, but I'm not blind to the many faults that we have as Christians gathered together as a church. And so the circumstances of life have left them displaced. They have no church home. And so the husband just recently received a diagnosis of cancer that has resulted in his being placed in hospice care. And so the wife has found herself, because their faith is so important to them, they just feel like the service, the memorial service, the funeral, ought to be in a church building. Can you imagine something more, demanding, exhausting, than calling churches to find out if you can have your spouse's funeral there when the time comes? And here I want to tell you about two of the churches that she called. One of them, I mean, these are both good churches. They preach Jesus. They not only love the Lord, they teach the Bible. They're active in their community. I mean, good churches. But the first one, what she came away with from the conversation was basically that this space here is like a venue to be rented. You know, the concern was for how much it would cost and what contract would need to be signed. And, I mean, it really left her with the feeling of, wow, they run the church kind of like it's a business. And then she went to another church. And the way they responded to her left her with a completely different feeling. They barely talked about what the cost of the use of the facility would be about. The minister's conversation was all about, how can we serve? How can we help you as you're walking through this difficult time? Now, can you guess which of those two churches the wife picked for the funeral to be held? Of course we can. I think community, we talked about it being found in a common experience. It's also found in a common expression. It is the message. It is the vibe. It is what we communicate, not only with what we put on our bulletin or what we put on our church sign, but it is what our life together as a congregation says to the community, the neighborhoods, the city, that we have an opportunity to impact. In Acts chapter 2, verse 45, the church in Jerusalem really had more of the spirit of what I would call the second of the two churches that I told you about this morning. We read that selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Why was that? Acts 4, verses 32 through 35, explain to us why. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They were a community. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. That was what the early church was known for. I mean, it's interesting to me, one of the first questions that a lot of churches ask when they are like coming together, organizing, is where are we going to meet? And if there are resources available, how quickly can we find a building that we can make our own? And I get it. I get that. I understand the place of a ministry tool like a church building. I just wonder sometimes, in the light of what we read about in the early church, I really don't see the early church gathering buildings. If anything, they're selling buildings because they understand that people will always be more important than buildings. Now, I don't know if I'm barking up the right tree or not, or if this is not an issue at all here at Kingsway Christian Church, but I can tell you as a minister for about 40 years now that sometimes well-intended Christians can unfortunately begin to think it's about the building. Anytime an inanimate object like this becomes more important than a living, breathing soul for whom Jesus died, we need an attitude adjustment. Community is found in a common expression that desires for there to be no needy persons among us. One in heart and mind, this was their objective. Now, this sort of thing, if this condition is to be true of us, this does not happen in a crowd. Rather, it happens, if it's going to be consistent on our part, in a smaller kind of community. I'm talking about a handful of people loyal to us and we to them, where we live out those beautiful words of Scripture where the Lord says to us, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We express that to one another in the community we call the church. And it's only in those smaller fellowships, whatever we call them, Sunday school classes, small groups, Bible studies, where these smaller gatherings where we know each other by name and we know each other face to face and we know enough about what's going on in each other's lives that we know when there are struggles, when we know there is heartache, when we know that there are emotional stresses and physical problems, and we come together with one another and we pray for each other fervently that God would bring the healing, the restoration, the reconciliation according to our need. Community is found in a common experience, spiritual disciplines that we've talked about, and it's also found in a common expression where we give, we serve, we volunteer, we make ourselves and all our stuff available just like Jesus did long ago. In fact, a couple of action steps. I can't remember if we talked about this last week or not, so I'll repeat myself in case I did. I think if you're a person who's like engaged at this level, I love it. This is great. I love being a part of our gatherings on Sunday morning. But I'm here to tell you that if you have yet to have this experience, Kingsway Christian Church will never ever really feel like your church until you get in a little deeper and find that group of people that you can be like family with. And here's the thing with a lot of churches, and I don't know if this is true of Kingsway, but if it is, we'll need to address it, or the guy following me will need to be sure this is something that is addressed, is that a lot of times it's hard to know exactly how to do that. Remember we talked about the discipleship path last week? What are the next steps I need to take? I think finding involvement in a small group is there. But here's the thing, it isn't like immediately apparent in most churches how to do that unless we're very intentional about that. And as this church grows bigger in numbers, we'll have to be more intentional about it, because the natural relationships, while they're important, don't guarantee that that's going to happen. It's too easy for people to fall through the cracks, and we would never want that to ever happen here to anyone. So finding that small community, the other action step I would say is finding your way through your giftedness, your life experience to give, to serve, to volunteer, to find your way to contribute to what God is doing here at Kingsway Christian Church. Community is found in a common experience and a common expression. And then thirdly, community is found in a common end or purpose. The Lord, we're told, added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want us to think about this for a moment. What happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and in the days immediately afterward is what the Lord wants for every Christian and every congregation. I believe that. I think that's his timeless wish for every congregation of the Lord's people. He wants us to have a common experience in Christ. He wants us to find a common expression like that of Jesus Christ, who laid his life down as a servant for a common purpose or end or aim, that what we would do would be ultimately for Christ and for his purpose here. This is the kind of church we want to become, we should want to become, that we ought to be working toward. When we think about a new minister to come into the life of this congregation, these are the kinds of questions I think we ought to be asking, quite frankly, is what kind of a church would you want us to be? What kind of a disciple would you want us to raise up? By the way, those kinds of questions are being asked, I'm pleased to say. I'm grateful for the search process. I love how it's going on. I'm praying for its successful conclusion, and I hope you are too, as we have opportunity to participate together in God bringing us together with that individual and family who are going to have such a key role, not the most important role, but certainly a key role in what God does in the days ahead here to make us one in heart and mind. You know, in Matthew 18, I know I'm realizing I'm getting away from the book of Acts, but in wrapping this up, I hesitate to say those words, but because I know I can kind of go on and on. But here's kind of the final thing I'd like for us to think about with relationship to community, at least for this morning. In Matthew 18, Jesus provides his disciples, and he provides us by extension, as those who read the scripture today, a picture of what biblical community looks like. If you're acquainted with the passage of scripture that I'm talking about, you know, oh yeah, I got a little time. Matthew 18. Maybe you're acquainted with this. I hope you are. Jesus talks about, Matthew 18 is very good in terms of how it helps us understand how we are to relate to one another in the life of the church in a biblical community. Because understand, the church was just kind of present in its pre-emergent form. It doesn't actually take shape until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on the day of Pentecost. But Jesus still gives us a sense of what he was going for, what he was expecting. He talks about greatness in the kingdom of heaven. It's about becoming like a little child, about causing others to stumble. He tells a parable about wandering sheep and then ends and talks about forgiveness, the parable of the unmerciful servant. But before that, he talks about dealing with sin in the church. I'm talking verses 15 through 20. All right? Now, I'm not going to take the time to read this. Hopefully, you're acquainted with it. If you're not, I hope you'll take the time to read where I don't want to focus so much on each of these steps that Jesus speaks of, but I want to talk about the community he was aiming for, the environment that he was trying to create amongst his disciples, where, get this, we care enough about Jesus and we care enough about one another that we communicate very directly. That doesn't mean like unkindly, but we do communicate very directly to one another, to one another, rather than about one another. Maybe you're like me. You've been a part of Christian groups and churches that are permeated by the sin of gossip and backbiting. Man, I hope that is not true here. But in biblical community, if there's something wrong, we talk to people about it. We don't talk about other people about it. In fact, in biblical community, Jesus went on to say it ought to be this kind of community, this kind of an environment where we care enough about one another, about Jesus, that we confront honestly, respectfully, gently, but honestly, because quite frankly, I need you. And you need a person like me. We all need each other in our lives. We don't always get it right. In fact, a lot of times we fumble at this very important responsibility, which is ours as brothers and sisters in a family of faith. But to communicate directly, to confront honestly, to value our relationships with Jesus and one another so highly that we would not let anything destroy the unity that he desires to build in the life of a congregation like ours. Remember how we began last week? That reference to God's sense in the book of Genesis when he was creating that it's not good for the man to be alone. Contrast that with what we read here in verse 20 of Matthew 18, when Jesus says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Now, I don't think this is so much about the number, although two or three are certainly better than one, as it is a statement about the significance of community, of gathering in my name, of knowing a common experience, of demonstrating a common expression, of all being on the same, going in the same direction. We have the same objective in mind, a common end as our goal. And it all begins. We know this as Christians, but we need to be reminded of this, don't we? It all begins with him, Jesus, and our relationship with him. And so this morning, that's what I want to ask us about as we move into an invitation time. How is your relationship with Jesus? I know that the vast majority of us in the room would claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but I can't think of a more important question for us to be asking ourselves, especially as we're wanting to move into a new season of ministry under new leadership. So I appreciated what Shane had to say this morning as we were led into the Lord's table about our relationship with him. You know, it's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough to write about it. I mean, those are great places to start, but ultimately it's not what is happening in here, it's what happens out there that makes the world see what a biblical community like a church, like the church, should look like. How about our relationships with others? You know, maybe it's good that I don't know what's going on here, and I can just boy, that's true a lot of the time, whether I'm here or other places. I don't know exactly what's going on. But I'll tell you, sometimes, unbeknownst to me, the Lord says something to people through something that he allows me to say. I have no clue what's going on, but you can be assured the Holy Spirit does. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows our tendency to wander, to get distracted, when we get hurt, to get upset. He knows that about us. That's why he's put us all in one another's lives, so that we could pray for each other. We can encourage one another. We can hear one another's confessions. And in bearing each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ, and we become the church that he wants us to be. So we're going to focus on him for the next few minutes during this invitation song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Do you need the prayers of the church? Are you a person who's said, I'm ready to step over the line. I have been observing. I'm ready to become a follower of Jesus. The first step in that is to let somebody know of your faith. Confess that faith before others so that you can experience the wonderful blessing of being baptized into him. Maybe you're a person who knows Christ and you sense that the Lord is leading you to be a part of this congregation. We'd welcome you to come as we stand and sing.